Blog Talk Radio.
If it's Sunday, it's football day right here on Assignment Football on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio. Join us for the next 90 minutes as we talk NCAA and NFL football with your hosts Thomas Duck and Mike Mastrolio. It's Assignment Football on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio. Now here's Tom and Mike. All right. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Assignment Football. It is Sunday, September 20th, week 3 of the NFL season. It's been a while since we've been able to play the promo, the intro, as it were, and I hadn't realized that we haven't changed that since we dropped the NCAA format because we're just not good at it. But we are joined again today, of course, by our co-host, Mike Mastrolio. Good morning, Mike. How's it going?
Good morning, Tom. Everything is good. Beautiful day here in Syracuse. I'm going to try to make it an error-free show.
That should be great. Also, just really quickly, congratulations to you. Like I just said, we don't do NCAA football anymore, but congratulations on a really representative showing by Syracuse University against one of the better college football teams in the country yesterday. You wonder if they had their young quarterback, was it Eric Dungy? Maybe they do a little bit better against LSU yesterday, but pretty good showing. And Carl Malone was in the dome yesterday too, by the way, just if you didn't see that.
I did see that, texting on the old flip phone.
Just a
quick point about that game. I think if you took, and I would not have expected to be able to say this going into the game, if you took LSU's running back and put him on Syracuse probably wins that game.
Probably going away.
They're one player away from LSU in that game. I would have thought I would have expected 50-7 with a garbage time touchdown or something, you know, where it just was a total domination. And there was almost no point in the game where Syracuse was just out of it until the last minute or so, really. So it was kind of cool. Yeah.
And the thing is, I think you could say that about a lot. If you put Leonard Fournette on a lot of teams, it would make a huge difference for them. But that's neither here nor there. Oddly enough, really weird about him, and just really quickly, not draft eligible this year. He will have to play one more year of college football. So just want to let you know that we are brought to you in part by Mr. Mac Avendo. For professional financial advice regarding retirement planning, investments, and life insurance, contact Mac Avendo and receive a complimentary planning analysis. Call Matt today at 315-671-1864, and he will hook you up. All right, if you'd like to join the conversation here on Assignment Football, our number to call is area code 347-637-2812. We've got a lot of stuff to get to today. We're going to be joined a little later on by our good friend, Alan Zlotarczynski. He's going to come in, and we're going to talk about a must-win for the Baltimore Ravens against their rivals in division, Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to have, of course, our pick six segment, Fantasy Hot or Not. We're going to do some bold predictions, and right now we're going to go over some NFL news. Just kind of talk real quickly. There was a game on Thursday, obviously. It was the Washington Redskins at the New York Giants. Bit of a stinker through most of the game. I mean, the first half was pretty dull, and then all of a sudden, the last 3 minutes, it just blew up.
Yeah, it was quite a game. Fully enjoyed it. It's nice to see a good Thursday game.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it started a little slowly, a lot of field goals in the first half, and then, you know, it's getting down towards the end, and the Giants are certainly in control, and I don't think there was any point really where you felt like they weren't going to win the game. But they score a touchdown, and then Washington returns that subsequent kickoff for a touchdown, and they come down and score another touchdown, and it was just a pretty crazy game.
How good is Odell Beckham Jr.? I mean, that kid is going to be a great receiver going forward. If he can play a injury-free career, he is going to go down as an all-time great. The kid is absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing you worry about with him is just if he gets injured. And I think that's the if that's the only thing you worry about, he's got great hands. He's an excellent route runner. He's a superior athlete. He's a really great player. I mean, I'm of the mind that let's not anoint him as the greatest NFL receiver because it seems like you kind of get to a point with him where right now it's kind of a little bit of oversaturation. Everyone just gushes and gushes and gushes, but he is that good. I mean, he's been very, very good over the you know, the short part of his young career, let's say. 15 games, he's got 110 receptions in 15 career games. But I mean, there's also the point of who the heck else is Eli going to throw it to on that team? I think your second best receiver, right, with Victor Cruz out, is Larry Donnell. So, but yeah, he's great. He's fantastic. And so the other thing I saw, though, and talk about, I mean, I know you love knee-jerk reactions and hot takes and all that stuff, and I can't remember who said it on Mike and Mike the very next day, Friday morning, but was saying that the New York Giants are going to come back and win the NFC East.
It was Greenberg.
It Greenberg?
He got hammered on Twitter after that. It was pretty funny. I actually caught that tweet when he tweeted it myself, and then the response to it was, you know, real nice. They play one good game, and they've got a quarterback essentially that, you know, can't manage game situations, and you think now this 1-2 team is going to run away with this division.
Right. And I wouldn't – and here's the thing. I mean, Philadelphia doesn't look very good, and Washington isn't very – they're just not very good. They don't have a ton of talent, okay? New York is in that same conversation with Washington. I'm sorry, folks. They don't have a ton of talent. They've got some really good skill position players, but they don't have talent on the offensive line. They don't have talent on the defensive line, and they don't have talent in the back end of their defense other than Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. So to say that they're just going to catch fire and go, you know, people are always talking about, you know, the 2011 season, the 2007 season. The difference there is those teams were very talented, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and they're just not right now. And of course, you know, the Cowboys
of the Washington team they played against, Washington plays hard. I give them credit because I agree with you. They're not a very good team. But they play really hard. They did not give up in a game in which they were beat fairly early. They kept holding them to field goals. Even when they got way behind, they came right back. They kept playing hard. So credit to them for not wilting. And they did the same thing in week one against Miami in the other game they lost. At the whole game.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. And then it came out against St. Louis and took advantage of a team that just was not ready to play them in week two. So, again, and they'll win some games, and they'll be okay, I mean, for themselves, I guess. But at the end of the day, they're just missing a lot of things. And to think that, you know, I mean, obviously the Dallas Cowboys have their problems in that division. Now they don't have Dez Bryant for a little while. They're saying he may be back week seven right after the bye. They don't have Tony Romo right now. But what they do have is that defense, which has looked pretty good in the first two games of the season. And I think that defense could, if they can just, I don't know, if Romo misses eight games and they go 4-4 and he shows back up and they're 6-4, I think they're definitely in the driver's seat in the division. Because I don't know that anyone else in that division is going to be 6-4 at that point.
No, I know you're a fan, so you probably say it with a bit of that, you know, the worry that a fan will always have. You look up and down the roster, and even with the bottom, that's still the best roster in that division. That's really saying something.
And I think Whedon's just got to hold the ship. He doesn't have to go out there and be great. As long as the offensive line can open holes and start running the football a little better, they'll be okay.
And he should be able to. I think Whedon's actually a reasonable quarterback in teams previously before he got to be the backup in Dallas that were bad and he didn't have a lot of help, you know?
Yeah.
So
and
I think Whedon's all right. He looked pretty good in the first game he played too. I thought he looked really good actually the other night.
Yeah. And well, he went 7-for-7 for 73 yards and a touchdown. So that's okay. But I mean, he's not going to do that the whole time. The thing about Whedon is, and I write a story every week for a website called cover32.com. You can check it out, cover32.com/cowboys. Every Tuesday, I write a story on the five reasons why the Cowboys will win this coming week against their upcoming opponent. This week, my number one reason, my first reason, it's not my number one overall reason why they'll win, but my first reason that I pointed out was Brandon Whedon. And part of the reason why it's Brandon Whedon is because this is a guy who's got an arm. He's got arm talent. He's a big guy. He's not super mobile, but he's mobile enough. The thing about Brandon Whedon is this is the first time in his professional career that he's had the same offensive system in two consecutive seasons. He's never had a chance to get comfortable with a playbook in his life. And so hopefully that does something for him where he's able to say, you know what, I know this play, I know that play, you know, I'm really comfortable with this, I know my offensive coordinator, I know what he's thinking. So hopefully that'll help him out a little bit.
I agree with that to a degree, except that was what was always said about Alex Smith. Because I remember the first 5 years of Alex Smith's career, he didn't have in San Francisco the same offensive coordinator or the same coach like 2 years back to back. And then once he got to Kansas City and he had a little continuity with the coaching staff, you sort of realize Alex Smith is Alex Smith.
Yeah, and there is that. He doesn't have a lot of arm talent, Alex Smith, though. I mean, he just can't throw the ball down the field.
And Whedon is the opposite of that, I think. Whedon actually does have really nice arm talent. He seems to throw with a ton of zip on the ball. Anyway, I think, you know, there's a lot worse they could do as far as a fill-in. But where they'll win games, more about this later in general in regards to a couple other teams, but where Dallas is going to win the game is in the trenches on both sides of the ball. They have a really good offensive and defensive line. And, you know, that's what you really need to win football games in the NFL, especially in a team where you're questionable at the quarterback position. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I think a big test today for them with Atlanta, but we'll see how that goes a little bit later on. We'll talk about that some more. Some big news coming out, key injuries this week. We've got players who are playing. DeMarco Murray is stating that he will play despite his hamstring strain. Maybe he gets to double-digit yards again this week. Todd Gurley is going to make his NFL debut today for the Rams, so that's good news for St. Louis. I'm very interested to see what Gurley's got coming off that injury. I think he could be a really, really special running back for St. Louis. Also, Marshawn Lynch is expected to play today in Seattle's home opener. And Le'Veon Bell makes his return from suspension for the Pittsburgh Steelers, his first game of the year. Expected to be he was rated the number one player in fantasy, even though he was going to miss the first two games. So pretty excited for that one as well. Players that are not going to be playing today, Dwayne Allen of the Indianapolis Colts, the tight end, he is out. Luke Kuechly, middle linebacker from Carolina, is out. Tevin Coleman, rookie running back from the Atlanta Falcons, will not play today. And Drew Brees, superstar quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, is out today. And there's some talk that he's a pretty much a long shot to play next week in their home game against Dallas. So there's that. Brees, I guess he bruised his rotator cuff in that loss against Tampa Bay. And you talk about a team that can ill afford to lose what's probably their one really good football player. And there's a lot of other guys on that team who are maybe pretty good and not very good. I mean, Brandon Cooks is a pretty good football player. This Brandon Coleman kid looks good. They just don't have a lot to hang their hat on as far as, again, offensive and defensive line. Their lines have played poorly. Obviously they had Arizona in the first week. That's a tough game for anybody, especially on the road at Arizona. But then to come home at your home opener in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome and get, I mean, really kind of worked by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that should tell you about the state of who the New Orleans Saints are. That doesn't happen 3 years ago, 2 years ago. It just doesn't. Yeah. Tampa Bay does not come in and beat New Orleans in the dome.
Tampa Bay is not good. They made Jameis Winston look like an all-pro. That defense has got some serious issues. You could forgive them Arizona because Arizona's going to make your offensive line look bad anyway because they're really strong. But Tampa Bay just made them look awful. We were laughing earlier about the one tweet that Mike Greenberg sent out. He sent out an even more egregious one about this game, and he said, you know, when he found out Drew Brees wasn't playing this week, he said, something about Drew Brees' injury makes it feel like this might be the end of it. And I want to say the first reply to it was, I think you missed the boat by 2 years on that, Mike. And it was like, you know, New Orleans has been kind of in a decline for a couple years, and they had Brees to kind of buoy them. But their defense a couple years ago was historically bad. Literally, most defenses – yards against wise in the history of the league, they're giving up something like 430 yards a game, and they haven't improved in a significant fashion since then. So,
and they're not gonna because they don't have any salary cap room. They as of right now, they are in salary cap hell. They've got a lot of work to do with their cap before they can think about starting to add players again. And you're talking about a guy in Drew Brees who's what, 36 years old. By the time they're able to get this fixed, I don't know that Drew Brees is going to be around there anymore.
Both like Brees, but he's making $26 million.
Right.
And, you know, they're going up. I mean, you got to figure, look, you know, Brady makes $10 million less than that. And that's the difference between Brady having Gronkowski to throw to, that $10 million.
Right.
Like, you can't, as good as Brees is, you can't spend $26 million on one player in the NFL. Look at Flacco. Look at Baltimore. Same thing.
Right.
They overpaid. I thought they overpaid him from the second that contract came out. I thought no one else would come anywhere near paying Flacco that. And now look at what's happened to their roster. Baltimore always had solid offensive and defensive line, good corners, good linebackers. And you had a couple guys in there that were willing to maybe play for a little less. You had Ray Lewis, wasn't a top paid player. Suggs makes good money, you know, Drew Brees money. And now with Flacco, you can't afford to pay any of these guys and you lose some of those peripheral guys. And now Baltimore looks pedestrian, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the case of a lot of places around the league. And now you look at a place like the Giants, who just paid Eli Manning a ton of money. How's that going to go? They don't have a lot of talent on their offensive and defensive lines. And if you're going to pay $24 billion a year to your aging quarterback, how are you going to fix that? And also, you look at a place like Seattle. They're still a very good football team right now. But in about 2 years, it's going to be interesting to see if they're able to keep the level of talent that they have right now, because now they're paying their quarterback. And before, he was making a third-round rookie salary money, which is about, what, $900,000 a year? Now he makes $20 million.
$750, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, below $1 million a year, and now you're paying him $21.5 million a year? That's a huge difference in your salary cap, and that's why they had to cut one of their nose tackles. That's why they're not giving Cam Chancellor bringing that money forward for Cam Chancellor, because they can't afford to do it. They just can't afford it. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that works out in Seattle for them. Now, different kind of situation. Wilson's young, so maybe they can get around it and kind of rebuild and revamp the team. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of players that are on that team now that will not be on that team in 3 years. Just won't, because they won't be able to keep them. All right, so where are we at now? We can go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to you about our fantasy hot or not. All right, so we're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on Assignment Football on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it, and this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Hey, NFL fans. Be sure to join Alan Slaughterzinski, Brian Yates, and John Ames every Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the NFL Standard. Every Sunday morning at 10 Eastern, Alan, John, and Brian will bring you up-to-the-minute fantasy football news and notes, injury reports, as well as all of the news from around the National Football League. Again, every Sunday morning at 10 right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. It's the NFL Standard, a can't-miss for every NFL fan.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, or the Big 10 in 2015? Which college football conference reigns supreme? Find out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network as Alan Slaughterzinski brings you the Thursday College Football Blitz. Each and every Thursday night, Alan delivers you all of the news and notes from around the world of college football, all of the rankings, the Heisman Watch, the updated standings, get you ready for the upcoming weekend in college football. Again, for the best coverage in college football this season, join Alan every Thursday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the Thursday College Football Blitz.
Ball, a little Shadrach from the Beastie Boys off of Paul's Boutique. Great album. If you've never listened to that one, you're missing out. Also, one thing I wanted to make clear there. On the first segment, the opening song we played, and it's kind of it was a little bit of a thing for me. I know a lot of people aren't familiar with the band, but it's from a group from Canada called The Tragically Hip. And the song was kind of played in reference to the story we kind of ended with in the Drew Brees and New Orleans Saints thing. The song is called New Orleans is Sinking. So that's a good, that's a really good song too. So we're into our fantasy segment now. We're going to do Fantasy Hot Not in just a moment. Just kind of remind you that this is brought to you by FanUpNetwork.com. You can go to FanUpNetwork.com today to sign up for the free FanUp Network app. Simply register at FanUpNetwork.com and follow the instructions for your platform, whether it be Android, iPhone, or Windows. And FanUp Network will help you dominate in all your leagues. You can keep track of all your fantasy teams in one place. You can see real-time player news and receive expert fantasy advice. Go to FanUpNetwork.com and sign up today and follow them on Twitter at FanUp Network. So, yeah, I mean, really good thing. I mean, for me, I've got five leagues, so it works out pretty good. I can just go open up the one thing and follow all my teams. Last week in my five leagues, I was once again 1-4. However, I did lose in the Honda City League. Maybe we get Brad to sponsor this segment.
We'll just have to let them win a couple more games.
Okay. I'm just saying, we're going to say Honda City League because that's where we're at. So if you're in Liverpool, you're looking for a great car, go ahead and see Brad Townsend and Mike Mastrolli at Honda City on Henry Clay Boulevard. Okay. So anyway, how'd you do last week?
1-1. My Honda City team is atrocious. And if they go unvictorious throughout the season, it's not going to surprise me at this point. My first four picks were Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, Frank Gore, and Lamar Miller. And I don't think I need to say much beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Dez thing, that's very unfortunate for you. That's just an unfortunate situation. He'll come back for you. Demaryius has actually gotten a lot of yards, but he's not getting in the end zone. And Frank Gore has been a train wreck in Indy. And Lamar Miller – kind of is proving that maybe he's just not the guy, you know.
So Lamar Miller, the thing about Lamar Miller that kind of this fantasy segment is that I've always not liked Lamar Miller, and I specifically picked him this year because all the fantasy gurus were hot on Lamar Miller, and he's going to have a great year. There's no more Daniel Thomas. And then after I picked him and watched him play one game, I went, oh, yeah, now I remember why Daniel Thomas was a thing in Miami because Lamar Miller. And so, you know, I picked him against my better judgment, and now I get what I had coming to me for not listening to myself. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is what it is. I've got Lamar Miller in a league too, just because, you know, I'm in five leagues, so I pretty much got every player in the NFL on one team or another. But I mean, there are some guys I definitely avoided, but Lamar wasn't one of them because I just feel like he's a you know, at least he's a starting running back. That's kind of my theory. If you can get yourself a starting running back. Now, I picked Lamar kind of later on, I think fifth or sixth round, so I felt like that was good value. But as of right now, he hasn't done a darn thing. So we're going to get right now, we're going to go to our hot or not, who we like. We're going to do our hots first. Who's a good, like a sleeper pick for your fantasy team this week? Mike, who do you got first?
Okay, so for a quarterback, a guy who might actually not be on a roster in your league that could have a great day is Blake Bortles of Jacksonville. First of all, this is the first season where Blake Bortles has looked like an actual NFL quarterback. Pretty good through the first 2 weeks. It helps that he's got Robinson there on the outside to throw to, who's also looked like an NFL receiver. So that's been a nice 1-2 punch. And New England, a couple things about New England. The secondary, not necessarily the strength of their team in England, and end up throwing the ball in an attempt to catch up to them. So I think that Blake Bortles has a good game, even if Jacksonville gets shellacked, and you know, who knows what the outcome is going to be. I guess that would be the expectation. And I would expect Blake Bortles to have a really nice game and playing some catch up football today.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. I think you're right. They probably are going to get just absolutely trucked, but I think it could be something like 42-20. You know what I mean? They could lose by three touchdowns, but still have Blake Bortles throw for two and maybe a couple hundred, 250 yards. And if he can stay off the, you know, kind of stay off the turnover page, maybe that's a really nice day for him. A guy that I like right now as a kind of a real sleeper, and it's just from what I've seen of him and the way he's been used over the first couple of weeks, is Carlos Williams out of Buffalo. whenever they get down near the end zone, they're handing the ball off to Williams. McCoy comes off the field. If they're inside the 10 and they're handing it to Carlos Williams, and this guy can really run. He's getting into the end zone. He scored two touchdowns back-to-back weeks. First week he had 55 yards. This past week he had 21 on the ground, 16 through the air, and a touchdown. He's averaging over 10 points a week. So if you're hurting for running back play, you really need to pick somebody up. Carlos Williams might be your shot in the dark kind of guy who could get you a touchdown and maybe 30 or 40 yards and get you on some positive points in that area. Who else you got, Mike?
Okay, in the receivers, a guy who also might be available in your league who's kind of flying a little under the radar and has the best possible fantasy matchup a player can have is Doug Baldwin of Seattle today. Doug and 9 targets in the last 2 weeks. He's caught 7 balls each week. So I've seen he's got 14 catches for 127 and a touchdown. So those numbers are pretty acceptable anyways, averaging 11, 12 points. And then on top of that today, he gets Chicago. And Chicago nice. Makes fantasy wide receivers look good. It doesn't matter how good you are. I expect that Doug Baldwin will have a great day today against Chicago. And if I owned probably anybody on Seattle, I'd start them regardless of who it was. Lockett, Marshawn Lynch's backup, you name it, they're probably
right. Maybe they'll go tackle eligible. You can get one of those guys to be your tight end this week. all right, so my next guy is same game, Buffalo-Miami, same game as I did in the first one, but it's the other side of the ball. Again, he's only owned in 3.3% of NFL.com fantasy leagues, Rishard Matthews, and he has really come on for them in Miami over the first 2 weeks. They've brought in every wide receiver you can possibly think of. They have Jarvis Landry. They drafted Devontae Parker. They brought in free agent Greg Jennings. They traded for Kenny Stills. And all Rishard Matthews has done in the first 2 weeks is average 10 points a week. 34 yards and a touchdown against Washington in week one. And last week in the loss against Jacksonville, he racks up 115 yards receiving. Didn't get into the end zone, but still, 11.5 points out of your flex position or wide receiver two, this guy could really help your team. If you're looking for help at wide receiver, Rishard Matthews looks like he's kind of developing a bit of chemistry with Ryan Tannehill down there in Miami. So this could be a guy who could really help you out if you need someone in the wide receiver area.
That's funny. I've got another guy out of that game as well, and you'd think in a game with two really good defenses, we'd probably be trying to stay away from that one. But I like the tight end for Buffalo, Charles Clay, who is facing his old team. So a lot of times when a guy faces his old team, he's got something to prove. And from what I've read in the first two games, Miami didn't look very good against the tight ends of their opposition. And even though Washington was struggling to fill that role, they had 3 or 4 times in training camp and stuff. Miami has not fared well against the tight end. So I think Charles Clay probably gets a chance to do well today. Rex Ryan, the sort of coach who doesn't forget things, and will probably give Clay a chance to get a touchdown if they get in close, just to allow him an opportunity to score. He's a players coach type of guy. I could see that working out. So I like Charles Clay as a sneaky little play at the tight end.
Absolutely. If you're looking for that's really good. I like Charles Clay in general. But if you're looking for someone, like say you're in a PPR league and you're looking for a running back to plug in, you might want to take a look at Lance Dunbar today. Dunbar is going to get, especially if they end up trailing Atlanta, I just saw something come across. If you've got DeMarco Murray, get him out of your lineup. He is out today. If you had him in your lineup, examine your head. Anyway, if you're looking for a PPR running back, Lance Dunbar, he's probably going to get – Whedon might get a lot of checkdowns. He might go do a lot of underneath stuff. And Lance Dunbar is the kind of guy who can catch a pass for 3 or 4 yards and then turn it into a 25-yard gain. And I think he's going to get a lot more looks today with Whedon in the lineup than he would necessarily with Romo. So, if you're looking for someone to give you a spark, you're in a PPR league, that might be a good play at running back or flex, or RB2 flex, Lance Dunbar.
I wanted one more thing running back wise. Actually, I had two running backs written down, and I didn't really touch on either of them only because they're probably already owned. If Lewis from New England's not owned in your league, though, own him. He had one the first 2 weeks. and 22 rushes for 109 and a touchdown. So here's a guy averaging 15 yards per reception and 5 yards a carry. If he cannot put the ball on the ground, if he can avoid fumbling, this kid's going to have a great season. If he fumbles in this game, he may not see the field again because Bill Belichick's fumble. But if he can avoid fumbling, the kid is going to have an amazing season. And secondly, analyzing some defensive stats over the last couple of years, Cleveland's rush defense last year got a pass because Cleveland created a silly number of turnovers. But Cleveland's rush defense last year gave up 141 yards per game. Rush season, they're on pace to be even worse. They're giving up 160 yards a game on the ground. And Latavius Murray gets that juicy matchup today. So if you're between a couple running backs on your roster and there was any thought of not starting Latavius Murray for Oakland, get those thoughts out of your head and get the big rushing against Cleveland's defense because they are just a sieve on defense.
I have Latavius in three of my leagues, and I immediately inserted him this week. There was a couple leagues I wasn't playing him in because I thought I had a couple better running back options, but this week he is absolutely toting the rock for my fantasy football team against Cleveland. Like you said, really bad against the run over the last few years. I mean, you can say last year especially, they were on the field a ton. They led the league in number of plays, but they not only did they give up the most rushing yards, they gave up the most yards per carry. So, I mean, it's they're not a good run defense. I don't know that they've completely fixed that, even though they drafted Danny Shelton this year. I think they've got some work to do there still. And I think Latavius Murray, I think he's a special running back, to be honest with you. I think this guy has a chance to be really good over the next three or four seasons and could, especially if Oakland can get their offensive line to gel, he could have a really nice season this year. And I think if he is available in your league, which I don't think he's available in a lot of leagues, but if he is available in your league, be the smart guy and go get him because I think he's got a real chance, especially today. And especially if you've got DeMarco Murray in your lineup, Go see if Latavius Murray is available. The good one.
Or if you can trade, you know, a lot of times you can make a trade of one of these guys that's, you know, 2 years ago, like a Frank Gore. Frank Gore is still probably in a lot of people's heads, or Lamar Miller, a guy who is a top-tier running back to have. And I think if you can make a trade of a guy like that for a guy like Latavius that's an up-and-coming player, you might catch an owner unawares and kind of shock him with name recognition value and pick up a guy who's on the upswing. So I think he'd be a good trade target too.
Yeah, he might even be just a guy who's looking to buy low on someone like Frank Gore or DeMarco Murray or someone like that, who feels like, you know, hey, they're having a tough start, but they're going to turn it around and have that season. There's a reason why it's called an average season for them, you know what I mean? So there's that part of it. So very good stuff there. Let's see, who do you not want in your lineup today, Mike?
To start with the quarterbacks, a guy who is a top-tier quarterback but not so much in this matchup is Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton has fared very poorly at Baltimore, and we're going to talk more about this game later with Allen, so I'm sure he can illuminate us a little bit. But in four road games against Baltimore, Dalton 4 touchdowns, 7 picks. So in most fantasy leagues, that equates to basically a zero when you're doubling up your touchdowns with picks. So I would stay away from Dalton if you have any other options at the quarterback spot. Who's a quarterback you don't like?
Well, I completely agree with you with that. I think Baltimore's defense is going to be – look, they're facing a desperate Baltimore team. And here's what – Andy Dalton's had two good games in a row, two very good – pretty good games in a row. So what's that tell me about Andy Dalton? He is due for a stinker. It is what it is. He's due for a stinker. I don't necessarily love Derek Carr today either because I think Cleveland's got a good passing defense despite the fact that they don't have a good running defense. I mean, I could be wrong on this. It's just a feeling I get. I don't love Derek Carr. Coming off the hand injury, I just wonder how he's going to be. If I have Derek Carr, I'm probably looking for a different option. Of course, if you're starting Derek Carr, you're probably in dire straits anyway because he's not really QB1 material just yet. If you're in a dynasty league, if you're in a keeper league and you got Derek Carr, I think you feel good about the future for that. More so than you are this year. But I, if you have Derek Carr and you're tempted to start him against Cleveland today, I would probably advise against starting Derek Carr.
Yeah, one run against, as we just talked about, that, you know, it kind of takes a little bit away from the quarterback position because you're, you know, given third and three defenses, you throw the ball on third and three. Against Cleveland, I mean, they're giving up 4.7 yards per carry. You might as well run it.
Right. I mean, there's absolutely no reason to not run the football against them. They're just not that guy, that good. Do you got one more for me?
Yeah, well, for a running back, a guy that I was really, really high on going into the season and aggressively looked to draft is Mark Ingram of the Saints. And he hasn't looked terrible in the first 2 weeks. The Saints offense has been disappointing in general, but today with I actually a lot of times in preparation for this part of our show, I'll read Matthew Berry's love hate column and get some stats out of there and kind of just see where his head's at, because I really like his writing. And Ingram was on his list of people he really likes today, actually, with the rationale that without Breeze, what else are they going to do?
Without
Breeze, what are they going to do is 6 points on 2 field goals and not move the ball. So I could see Ingram just having one of those, you know, 20 carries for 48 yards where, you know, they give him the ball because they don't have another option, but because they're going to be able to stack 8 in the box against the famous backup there. I don't know how he does well. It's his chance.
It is. Here he goes. Thank you to Verizon for getting us Luke McCown as the starting quarterback in New Orleans. I agree with you 100% on Mark Ingram, by the way. I don't know why Matt Barry's thinking that. I mean, maybe he's thinking Luke Kuechly's not playing today for the Panthers, so maybe he's got a chance. That Panthers defense is still pretty good.
That's a good defense.
It's a pretty good defense. They've got a Star Latulele is a really good defensive tackle, run stuffer. And the other part of that, the other side of that coin, New Orleans offensive line is not good. They don't open holes. They don't protect for their quarterback. That's why he's sitting on the bench today, nursing a bruised rotator cuff. It's not good. Of course, I say that, and of course, the best offensive line in the league last week got their quarterback out for 10 weeks with a broken collarbone. So that can happen to anybody. All right. So there's that.
Talking a little bit about your Dallas Atlanta game. You mentioned you like Dunbar. I do not like Randall because I think that if you're going to attack Atlanta, it's through the air. They're only giving up 80 rush yards a game. I think Dunbar gets sort of a larger portion of the snaps than he's gotten in the previous weeks, because I think given the option, they're going to run Dunbar over the runs with Randall. And the other side of that, you've got Freeman's kind of got the backfield to himself today. And because they're running back by committee, the other fellow, I think it's Coleman, is hurt and he's out today. But Dallas is giving up 53 yards a game. You just don't want any part of their rush defense with your running back. I would avoid the idea that Freeman's got a lot of upside because he's the only running back there, because I don't think you want to start a running back against Dallas if you have an option.
Absolutely. Here's the thing. If you're in an IDP league, kind of go back to a hot player, if he's available in your league, get yourself some Sean Lee. This man is a beast. He's been a beast every game he's been on the field. He's been fantastic in his entire career. The only problem with him is he doesn't stay healthy. If he gets 16 games this year, he's going to win comeback player of the year. There's just no other person who you could think would win, because he's going to average 10 tackles a game. Last week he had 14 tackles, an interception, 2 passes defensed. He was in the backfield all day, and that's what he does. He is absolutely a missile headed for the football. And playing in his new position of weak side linebacker, he's going to be great. He's going to put up a ton of IDP points this year. If Sean Lee is available in your league, I'm in an IDP league where I actually play 2 IDPs, and my IDPs are Paul Posluszny and Sean Lee right now. And I'm just eating IDP up because I got Sean Lee in like the 17th round of that draft.
Wow.
Yeah, ridiculous.
I don't watch Dallas every game, every play the way you do, but I was at the end of the week last week and I was home watching their stinker against Philly. What a terrible football game.
Awful.
But Sean Lee was next to the football on every play. I noticed it the whole time. We didn't talk about this off the air or anything, but everything you just said, I mean, every time the football is on camera, Sean Lee is on top of the dude with it. He's trying to take him down. He's a ball hawk. I really like him. Not the Dallas fan you are, but from what I've seen, wow, the guy he's got a motor on him. So
He's a special athlete. And the thing about him is, here's one little thing. He's played now in, he's drafted in 2010. So this is his 6th season. He's missed 34 games already in his career. So that'll tell you something. He's missed a lot of games. Since he came into the league in 2010, he leads all linebackers with 12 interceptions in the games that he's played.
I guess it doesn't surprise me that a guy with that kind of motor would be hurt that often, though, just because he is so involved in the flow of the game all the time that you could see him being hurt. He's always near the pile. So that makes sense.
Yeah, that's why they moved him, actually, from middle linebacker to will linebacker, so that to kind of protect him from that. So he's not caught up in the wash, second-level defenders, taking on guards, that kind of stuff. So he can just kind of fly to the ball now. And that's why they moved him
across the
field
at the pile. He's much safer.
Yeah. Well, he actually is. It actually is. He exposes him a lot less. But anyway, so there's that. All right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do some bold predictions. I don't know if that I'm fully prepared for it, but we're going to try our very best to come up with something awesome for today's games and maybe even a little bit down the road. We're going to do a couple commercials. We'll be right back after this on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Hey, football fans, looking for an alternative to your boring NFL pregame show? Try the NFL Standard right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Alan Slaughterzinski, Brian Yates, and John Ames deliver the best in fantasy news, notes, and information from around the world of the National Football League. The guys will get you set for all of the big games in the day with their game previews, as well as injury updates and all of the news and notes from around the world of the National Football League. Once again, if you're looking for the best in NFL game day coverage, right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. with Alan, John, and Brian on the NFL Standard.
All right, everybody, we're back. It's our bold prediction segment. That song right there, that's Everything is Everything by Capadonna. That's a
Capadonna?
Late 90s.
What?
Yeah, bro. You remember Capadonna?
Come on, now I remember Capadonna. Tenth member of Wu-Tang?
There he goes. He's like the fifth Beatle. Yeah, he's the 10th Wu-Tang member. Guy's awesome. Really great album that was on the Wu-Tang label. It's called The Pillage. From about, 2001, something in that area, kind of maybe 1999-ish.
I thought I was the only one who'd ever heard that album.
Oh, it's a really good album. It's a really underrated rap album, for sure. Capadonna was really good. He was actually featured on their Wu-Tang's, the Wu-Tang Forever, their last album, right? He was featured on the Triumph track on there, which is obviously one of the great Wu-Tang songs of all time. Starts off with ODB, rubbing your hind parts to the moonshine. Anyway, so that's where we are. I try to give you whatever track I'm playing as we come back from commercial whenever I can. I'm going to kind of give you the heads up on what's coming up on the next segment. After our next break, we're going to come in with Alan Slaughterzinski. He's going to help us out. He's going to break down the Cincinnati Bengals and Baltimore Ravens with us. He's also going to help us with our pick six segment. And the song I'm playing coming out of that is a song from Nirvana called School, because you know that Slaughterzinski is going to take us to school.
Yeah, he knows his stuff.
he might be the best guy on our show whenever he comes on. He's just absolutely got 100% the best knowledge, the best information. He's ready to go every time. All right, so here we are, bold predictions. Mike, what is your first bold prediction today?
I'm stealing yours.
Uh-oh.
You shouldn't have let me go first. Dallas wins today, next week, and starts the season 4-0 and runs away with their division. That's it. That's my prediction.
Okay.
Brandon Wheaton and the receivers do well. I think what you lose in the idea with Romo hurt, with Dez hurt, you overlook the fact that Dallas beats you up with their line play on both sides of the ball. That's why line so good. You know, they can plug and play to a degree at the receiver and the quarterback and still win games 17-13. And that's what I think happens today. I think that they find a way to slow down Julio. I think their rush defense is the capable it is every week. And I think they hold the Falcons down. And I think Dallas wins that game in a low-scoring affair.
You know what? You did kind of steal my bold prediction. I do definitely agree with you. I think if Dallas wins today, it's going to be because of their defense. It's going to be because of their rush defense. I mean, here's the thing. Their rush defense is going to dominate Atlanta today. Atlanta's line is okay, not great, even though they signed Jake Long. Their running backs are not going to be – without Tevin Coleman, I don't know where they're going, okay? The thing about Dallas' defense over the first 2 weeks is because the run defense has been so dominant and so good, you kind of forget that their pass defense, their secondary, has actually played really well too. They held Odell Beckham in check in game one. They held, I mean, Sam Bradford looked like, I've never seen Sam Bradford look that bad in any game ever against the Dallas secondary. He couldn't complete a pass for long stretches of the game. And certainly had some bad drops, but still, they were not able to get anything going in any phase of the game, really. So I think you're absolutely right. But my bold prediction for that game is actually that Dallas's secondary will hold Julio Jones without a touchdown and under 100 yards receiving.
Well, I hope you're wrong about that part of it, but okay. I don't necessarily disagree, because that probably goes along with making my prediction correct. So
they've
we're both on the Dallas bandwagon today, I guess. You're always on it, but I'll jump on for a week. My second one, I'm going to go with this, and I think in our prediction of the Super Bowl, so this is a 180 for me. The Colts do not turn it around this year. They may win this week, they may win next week, but they do not have anywhere near the season that was expected of them going into the year. I think it fault going into the season and thought, oh my God, they picked up Frank Gore, they picked up Andre Johnson, they're going to be spectacular. You're putting weapons around Andrew Luck. And Tom and I briefly touched on this before the show. They spent their money in the wrong place. They overpaid aging guys for what they'd done in the past, instead of putting in front of Andrew Luck and putting a defensive line on the other side of the ball and, you know, winning the game in the trenches. That's where they should have spent their money. When you spend the big bucks in the wrong spots, it neuters the other parts of your team because of the way the salary cap works. And Indy looks bad right now. And the aging superstars they spent their money on are going to help them turn it around. So I think that's a team I saw going 13-3. And they still may end the year with a pretty good record just because their division's trash. But 9-7 or something, I see them being far worse than my expectation and an easy out in the first round of the playoffs if they make it to the first round. So prediction with Indy.
I agree 100%. I had Indy in the Super Bowl, and I don't think that's going to happen. I just cannot imagine a team that's this – I mean, they just haven't been able to function against two good defenses. And the Jets' defense is good. The Bills' defense is good. These are not the 2000 Ravens they're facing. This is not the 1986 Bears, and they just haven't been able to do a thing. And they can't keep a clean pocket for Andrew Luck, so I don't think that's going to be very good. But I'm going to go with the other team from that game last week, the Jets. I was very low on the Jets. Of course, I felt like their quarterback play was going to be just awful. That defense is my bold prediction. They're going to shut out the Eagles today. My prediction: they will shut out the Eagles today. And I'm going to piggyback on that. The Jets are going to make the playoffs based on the strength of that defense. And I think it's going to be pretty crazy in New York if that happens.
Yeah, I'd like to see the back page of the New York Post if they can do this well going forward. But they do. They look like a different football team than what my expectation was. I thought the Jets would be really bad. I thought giving up Rex Ryan was a mistake. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick more than most people, I think. I think he's a serviceable quarterback that can get you, you know, from 4-12 to 8-8. I just don't know if he's, you know, late in the playoff guy. But, hey, the Jets have been successful behind Ryan with that model of let's have a really stout defense and an offense that doesn't lose the game. And it looks like they're – frankly, I think their offense has done better than not lose the game for them. I think
yeah.
Brandon Marshall has proven that he doesn't necessarily need a good quarterback to be a great receiver. He's made some spectacular plays. I thought when he went there, it would be sort of he'd be the forgotten one to throw him the ball. And boy, every time he's touched the ball, he looks special. He's made just some great plays. I watched almost the whole Jets game last week, and I was really wowed by the talent that they had, really. So
yeah, I mean, I think – and Decker's a solid number two. Again, I didn't think this was going to gel right. Of course, when you're looking at it before the Geno Smith incident, and maybe that guy who broke Geno's jaw should get some credit for this. I don't know. If Geno Smith is their quarterback, I don't think they're this good. I don't think they're 2-0. I don't think any of these good things are happening for the Jets right now. I think – because Geno has a propensity to throw the ball away and turn it over. And while Fitzpatrick has done that in the past, he hasn't done it so far. He's a smart guy. He's one of the smartest guys in the history of the NFL. The guy scored a 51 on his Wonderlic. If you're familiar with the Wonderlic, that is a ridiculously high score. And
he is that better than Jamarcus Russell did?
Certainly. The lowest score I ever heard of was actually Dallas Cowboys corner Morris Claiborne got a 4. Because he basically put his name on it and then refused to take it because the questions weren't about football.
That's awesome.
So he got 4 points for his name. But anyway, so this is a guy who understands, I have a great defense. I have a good running game. I don't need to do too much. So there you go. Mike, you got one more for us?
I do. And since we're going to focus on coming up with Allen, I wanted to make one of my predictions about this game. I looked at Baltimore's defense historically, and Baltimore is known as, you even mentioned when you wanted to come up with a great defense, you said the 2000 Ravens. Baltimore, when you think great defense, you think the Baltimore Ravens. The last few years, Baltimore's been in total yards against the way defense has been in the last 3 years. And the year Suggs won Defensive Player of the Year, they were number 3 in the league. It was 2011. 2012, he went out with the Achilles. They were number 17. So my bold prediction is Baltimore, who started 0-2 and hasn't looked particularly good, finishes in the bottom third of the league in defense. And you know, they lose some of that luster that they've had over the last few years where everyone always sees them as a great defensive team.
Yeah, obviously they lost their heart and soul in Terrell Suggs. There's no question about it. He's the best player on the team, regardless of position. He's better than anybody they have on offense. He's better than anybody most people have on defense, to be honest with you. Terrell Suggs is one of the great players in this league. It was truly special when they had Suggs and Lewis together in that linebacking core. And to miss him is going to be not just from the level of talent that he has, but the level of leadership that he brings to the defense. And I don't hold out a lot of hope for the Ravens being able to recover from that. Bold predictions for that game for myself. However, as I do think they have some talent in that secondary, and I think that Andy Dalton throws 3 interceptions today. That's my bold prediction for the Cincinnati-Baltimore game. I think Baltimore's going to win, I guess, or at least certainly it's going to be a lot closer than I think a lot of people think it's going to be. And I think that Andy Dalton is going to throw 3 picks today because it seems like the thing that Dalton does.
Yeah, we talked about it before. He's been bad on the road against Baltimore. And I would expect the trend to continue today as well. But I think going forward, Baltimore doesn't recover from the 0-2. A lot of the prognosticators are looking at several of these 0-2 teams and going, it's early. They can get over it. Indy, Seattle, Baltimore, particularly those three. And I think with my bold predictions, I think Indy and Baltimore will not come out of it. Seattle,
yeah.
I still think Seattle does, but I don't think Indy or Baltimore make it.
Here's what I'll say. I'll give you one last bold prediction. You've got 5 of these teams that people were really high on going into the year that are now 0-2: Indianapolis, Philadelphia, Seattle, Baltimore, and I'm missing the other one. I can't think of it right now. The only one that's going to make the playoffs is the Indianapolis Colts. And that's because they're in a horrible division. I don't think the Seahawks are going to recover that well. I don't like the way their offense is. Jimmy Graham does not block. First of all, the report was that he was not happy with his role. Now, of course, he's coming out and saying, oh, no, I'm totally happy blocking for people. And if you believe that, you're crazy. Jimmy Graham does not want to block for anybody. The guy's a basketball player, okay? And he has no interest in blocking. He doesn't. When he was in New Orleans, how many times did you actually see him lined up as an inline Y tight end? He was split out constantly. So he's always in the slot, and now in this offense, he's got to block, and it's not good. So I don't think they're going to recover. I still think they're going to be pretty good. I don't think they make the playoffs. How's that?
Yeah, I don't think they're a team anybody looks at them on their schedule and goes, oh, boy, we get an easy win this week because playing Seattle.
Oh, no. Especially with Cam Chancellor back now. But, you know, you got to see how that goes, too. He's missed a lot. You can work out on your own. Historically speaking, with players who've had long holdouts, when they come back, you got to look out for things like calf strains, hamstring pulls, stuff like that. You just hope that that doesn't happen because Cam Chancellor's so great and you just love to watch him play. But you know, it's just been a historic thing that's happened with players over the years coming back from long layoffs like that. You look at Dez. I mean, not to say that that's definitely what happened, but he didn't play at all during the preseason. He held out briefly. Not really held out. He was on the contract dispute with the Cowboys over the franchise tag. He didn't show up. And then, you know, he came in, he pulled a hamstring. First game of the year, he breaks his foot. It is what it is. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will be joined by the great Alan Zlotarczynski of NFL Standard, College Football Blitz, Mouthing Off Sports Talk, basically every outlet you can possibly think of. Alan Zlotarczynski is the man. He's coming on next with us here on Assignment Football on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Hey, NFL fans. Be sure to join Alan Zlotarczynski, Brian Yates, and John Ames every Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the NFL Standard. Every Sunday morning at 10 Eastern, Alan, John, and Brian will bring you up-to-the-minute fantasy football news and notes, injury reports, as well as all of the news from around the National Football League. Again, every Sunday morning at 10, right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, it's the NFL Standard. I can't miss for every NFL fan.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, or the Big 10 in 2015? Which college football conference reigns supreme? Find out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network as Alan Zlotarczynski brings you the Thursday College Football Blitz. Each and every Thursday night, Alan delivers you all of the news and notes from around the world of college football, all of the rankings, the Heisman Watch, the updated standings,
get you ready for the upcoming weekend in college football. Again, for the best coverage in college football this season, join Alan every Thursday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the Thursday College Football Blitz.
All right, everybody, we're back on Assignment Football. If that doesn't get your blood pumping, I don't know. You weren't alive in the 90s, I guess. I don't. Nirvana is so good. They're just so good. So sad. Actually, it's kind of funny. I had a friend of mine post on Facebook just to talk. Alan's running a little late, so I'm going to fill a little bit here. I had a friend put up. There's a little girl who's a comedian, and he just found her, and he loves her. She's like 10 years old, and she said, you know, she had a conversation with her father. Apparently, she likes really hard rock kind of music, and she said, you know, Dad, I really wish Kurt Cobain had waited 20 years to kill himself so I could have seen him in concert. And he says to her, well, why don't you just wish for Kurt Cobain not to kill himself? And she goes, yeah, and give up the Foo Fighters? So pretty good stuff there. Pretty funny. Great song, School by Nirvana. And Alan's going to help us out with that in a little bit here. Kind of speaking, Alan, of course, is really great with college football as well as pro football. We're going to talk pro, but let's talk a little bit about college. And you know, we talked about your team, Syracuse. Let's talk about my team, Notre Dame. How about this team? Okay. First of all, 4-0. Of course, they beat UMass yesterday, and they trucked them in the second half. They really let them have it. 60. UMass came out, had a few gadget plays, got a turnover early, kind of played off some emotion, and it was 21-20 at one point, ended up being 62-27. You're talking about a team that's lost its number one running back in the first week, and its number one quarterback in the second week, and just keeps on going. I mean, they beat Georgia Tech, who everyone thought was going to be a really good team this year, probably still could be really good in the ACC. We talked about that with Alan early in the year. But Notre Dame's just kind of kept it going, and it's kind of pretty cool to see the young kids kind of rally around each other. They've got some tough games coming up. They're at Clemson this week. So good on you, Irish. Keep going. All right. Alan's not with us yet. Mike, anything you want to talk about real quick?
Yeah, well, we were, I missed a couple of things when we were talking about the fantasy sits and starts. And, one of the guys who I wanted to touch base on as far as the tight end is Jordan Cameron from Miami, because he gets Buffalo today. And so people would have looked at it like, well, Buffalo can't guard the tight end. Look what Green last week. I think what you'll find is Cameron's going to have a really bad game because Buffalo looked at that tape and got mad. And they're a good defense with some pride. So don't overreact to what Gronk did to them and think that Jordan Cameron's going to have a great game. So I would avoid him. And the other thing I didn't talk about was the receivers to avoid. One thing statistically that really stuck out to me among receivers was Calvin Johnson, who, you know, anybody with a head on their shoulders thought Calvin Johnson's going to be a top five wideout. He's Megatron. And 7.9 yards down the field. And, you know, most people, myself included, wouldn't know what that really means. But comparing it to Julian Edelman, who is known to be a guy who runs these short crossing routes and stuff, Edelman's average target's 8 yards down the field. So he's been targeted further downfield than Calvin Johnson. So that gives you an idea of sort of how Calvin Johnson's been used this year. It's questionable. So if I had any other option at receiver and I owned Calvin Johnson, I would not play Calvin Johnson this week. So
yeah, and
we're
that's
talking
true.
About
and I haven't
started.
I have him in the league. And here's the thing with that too. It's one of two things that's happening. Either they're not giving Stafford enough time to get Johnson down the field, or Johnson, who I believe is in his decline, I fully believe that, has declined to the point where he can no longer separate downfield and is not open downfield, and that you've got to use him in more of a short range role. They got to adjust something there because Calvin Johnson is super important to the Detroit Lions. And if they're going to beat Denver tonight, they're going to need Calvin Johnson. Another thing just to kind of go over real quick, speaking of fantasy, I just went through my fantasy lineup on NFL.com and picked up Darren Sproles and put him in my lineup today because I think he is their only chance at running back. I think he's going to have a huge day with DeMarco Murray not playing today in New York City. Well, New Jersey. It's close. Whatever. The metal.
Well, I think in general in that backfield, because of how bad the offensive line is and how little success they've had running between the tackles, that Sproles is the guy that if they're smart, Sproles is the guy they want on the field the whole game, because he's the only one that can make anything happen by spreading out on odd spots and having him run around the edge. And, you know, Matthews is just a worse version of DeMarco.
Yeah. All right. Well, looks like we got Alan Zlatarczynski on the line. So let's bring him on right now. Alan Zlatarczynski of NFL Standard, College Football Blitz, Mouthing Off Sports. What else you got, Alan? Is that all you do?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I dove into some high school football this year here in the great Sunshine State, Florida. Man, I'm just glad it's football season.
Oh, me too. So good to talk to you again. We're happy to have you on. We've been kind of, hopefully you can live up to this. We've been building you up as the smartest guy in the room, but we really believe that.
I don't know about all that, man.
We really believe it's true. You make us better. You make us smarter.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, guys.
Good stuff. Well, we're going to talk today about a game that's very important to a team that's near and dear to your heart, the Baltimore Ravens. This is a must-win situation for Baltimore in Week 3, having to start the year on a tough road trip out west, and they came back 0-2. And this week they're coming in facing a team that's got some momentum going in the Cincinnati Bengals, who start off 2-0, division game, very important. What do you think? What are we going to see today from Cincinnati and Baltimore, Alan?
Well, you know, this has been a strange journey for the Baltimore Ravens to start this season. Of course, 0-2 for the first time ever under John Harbaugh. 0-3 is a death sentence in this league, gentlemen. You know the stats. Only 2.4% of the teams that have ever started 0-3 have made the playoffs since 1990. I'm not exactly comfortable with 1-2 either. But you look at this Ravens team, and in week one, they went out to Denver. I thought they did a pretty good job holding that Broncos offense in check. And then in week two, all of a sudden, the defense just absolutely fell apart. So it's really which Ravens defense is going to show up today against Andy Dalton and this high-powered Bengals offense. And to be honest with you, I think they had a week to get themselves together, collect their thoughts over the Terrell Suggs injury, which in my opinion was more of a psychological loss for this football team in terms of a leadership role. Like, I love Terrell Suggs. I love Sizzle. But for the last couple of years, this is a guy who hasn't been able to seal the end. He picked up 11.5 sacks last year, due in part to the fact that a lot of teams started to have to double-team Elvis Dumervil over there on the other side of the football. But the youngins have got to step up for this team. I think they were really starting to count on Upshaw and Timmy Jernigan. These two guys have got to step up. The Ravens' home opener today, I expect a fired-up defense. But, guys, the Bengals handle the Ravens as good as if better than anybody else in the league, especially in this tough AFC North. They've won their past four against Baltimore and have done so impressively. Two of those wins have come in Baltimore. Andy Dalton, he doesn't always have a great game against the Ravens, but he manages to find a way. The key here is, what is Joe Flacco going to do against this Paul Gunther defense today? And Flacco historically struggles against this Cincinnati defense. That secondary, you look at that secondary for the Bengals, Drake Kirkpatrick, Ioka, Nelson, Jones, they really seem to know Joe Flacco and his tendencies. The Ravens have got to start strong today. Here's a bold prediction, and I know it sounds like, you know, an obvious prediction, but if the Ravens don't score in this game first, I don't think they win this football game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think they've got to come out and have a fast start. I love Elvis Dumervil, probably the great forgotten man on the defense, as far as, because Suggs gets so much attention. It's his time to step up. And Timmy Jernigan is a guy who, the reason why Haloti Ngata is not there anymore is they feel like Jernigan can be that guy. So I think he has to step up in year two. Mike, what do you got for Allen?
A couple things. First of all, it looks like the schedule makers didn't do favors 5 of their first 7 on the road. One point I didn't get to make against Seattle and would have liked to when we were talking them was the fact that, you know, don't get too down on them being 0-2, because remember, their first two games were on the road. And I would make the same point with Baltimore. And they lost on the road to Denver and the Raiders. Now, Denver, we know Denver's good. We expect Denver to be good. The thing that we were both high on before the season – And of course they lost Carr in the first game. So you kind of, you're like, oh, they're the same old Raiders. Well, the Raiders look kind of like what we expected them to look like last week, where they had an explosive offense. And so I don't really think there's a lot of shame in the two losses that Baltimore has on the road. And they need a home game today because they don't have that many of them here at the beginning of the season. And this is two teams that know each other really well. And I expect an extremely competitive football game. Just looking at some of the Vegas stuff, they've got Cincy a 1.5 point favorite and the over under at 45.5. I think if Baltimore wanted to keep it on the under, I think a low scoring game favors them. You know, don't let Cincy get the explosive plays off with AJ Green down the field. And that's what I would like to see from Baltimore is a long possessions, war of field goals, and win a low scoring game.
Yeah, the one common factor here, and you brought up the Oakland Raiders, for both of these football teams has been the Raiders, because the Bengals traveled out to Oakland and played them in week one, and then the Ravens, of course, played them there last week. The thing that scares me, though, is that just 1 week apart, same football team, the Cincinnati Bengals didn't allow that Raiders offense into the red zone until the fourth quarter. In fact, I think they only crossed the 50-yard line twice in the second half. The Ravens allowed the Raiders into the red zone 10 seconds into the game. And, you know,
yeah.
that defense last week, to me, they looked lost, back on their heels. And Derek Carr is going to be a great quarterback. I really believe in Derek Carr, gentlemen. I really think he's going to be a great quarterback in this league. He just shows me too much in terms of his mechanics, his thought process, the way he goes through his progressions. I love Derek Carr, and I think he's starting to get the weapons there to prove that to be true. He scared me last week because the Ravens defense scared me last week because of two things that the Ravens didn't do last week that they typically do. First of all, Derek Carr had all day to throw the football. They didn't put a hand on
yep.
Derek Carr all day long, and that just simply isn't Ravens football. Now, a lot of people would attribute that to the fact that they lost Terrell Suggs. I'm not necessarily so sure that was the case in point. And the second thing was there was a play last week in that Ravens-Raiders game where Derek Carr rolled out to the left. He was on the looked to be between second and third base over there. And then he threw a ball back across his body into the middle of the field that looked like it had been punted, quite honestly. It was damn near end over end. And he completed it for a touchdown. There wasn't a Ravens defensive back anywhere around. I'm not sure what the coverage problems are back there right now, but Jimmy Smith thought he was going to come into that matchup last week against the rookie Amari Cooper and take advantage of it. Well, Amari Cooper showed right out of the gate that that wasn't going to be the case.
Amari Cooper is going to be a really, really good receiver in the NFL. He's got the body, the speed, and then everything out of their training camp was he's a fantastic route runner. So I think package, and I think if the Raiders can keep the two of them on the field together and healthy, that those two will be a pairing going forward that has a lot of eyes on them. I think that's going to be a really, really good pair.
Yes.
You
serve notice to the AFC West.
You know. Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned great ball. Typically when a quarterback has time to throw at the end of the game, you go, wow, that guy throws a nice ball. And I think the two things are very related, that he had all the time in the world to throw, and he looked like he was, you know, throwing missiles out there. And I think those two things are related. Hopefully the Ravens get a hold of that this week. And the other thing, they didn't pick a good week to try to do it, but I really think they need to get Forsett established. Cincinnati's rush defense is a tough, you know, it's a little bit of uphill sledding, but they got to get Forsett established to open things up for Flacco. Because they don't have the most talent on the outside there with their receivers. Steve Smith's good, but he's not fast or big, you know, anymore. He's quick, but he's not as fast as he once was, and he doesn't have the size. So you've got to find ways to get him the ball. You can't just throw it up for him and pray. And my knock on Flacco historically has been he does a lot of that, sort of throw that deep ball up there and hope it lands in the hands of one of his wideouts.
Well, that worked a lot better when you had Jacoby Jones and Torrey Smith going, and they need to get Justin Forsett going for my fantasy football team. Okay, go ahead.
No, the biggest problem with the Ravens, and unfortunately the Ravens fans really believe that Rashad Perryman, who practiced for the first time since stepping on a football field in July this week, they really believe that the end-all, be-all for this offense is going to be the return of Rashad Perryman. I'm not a Perryman fan. I wasn't a Perryman fan. Ozzie Newsome has never had a great track record of drafting wide receivers into the National Football League. I mean, he's drafted 8 of them into this league. None of them have ever amounted into anything. I think the best wide receiver Ozzie Newsome has ever drafted, if you can imagine this gentleman, has been Mark Clayton, who 1 year just was 44 yards shy of 1,000 yards. That's the best wide receiver Newsome has ever drafted. And to me, Perryman is going to need a couple of weeks to get on track. You know, veteran quarterbacks in this league, last year what happened between ODB and Eli Manning, guys, we know that that is the exception. That is not the norm, how veteran quarterbacks get into a groove with a rookie wide receiver like that. Joe Flacco is kind of a guy, I call him a meathead, and I mean it affectionately in that, you know, he's a guy that's set in his ways. You know, he likes to get that rhythm going with his wide receivers. He's not going to have that with Perryman. And I also take a guy like Perryman who's got 4.29, 4.3 speed, and I'll say this. You know, it's like in baseball, guys. You can have a 99-mile-an-hour fastball, but once you reach the major leagues, everybody can hit it. You better be able to move it. You better be able to change speeds. Perryman's not a good route runner. His hands aren't all that fantastic. And we all know that in the National Football League, you can have straight-line speed, but that doesn't mean you're going to catch the football. So I'm a little nervous that the Ravens, maybe even, you know, the Ravens fans and maybe even the Ravens themselves think that once Perryman returns, this is going to straighten out for them. I'm not sure. The Ravens lack playmakers on this offense, and it's been a problem with this football team for a couple of years now. They just don't have them.
Yeah,
well,
and
one,
I think
one guy who's been a pleasant surprise for them has been the man with two last names, their tight end, Gilmore,
yeah,
who I think has exceeded all possible expectations. So if he can continue that, maybe he'll be able to help team start to learn his name and understand he's somebody they have to defend. Crockett Gilmore, 6'6", 270 tight end. I mean, he's certainly a space eater. If the opposing defense has to start game planning for that kid, then maybe it does open it up on the edge and open something up for Forsett. So that's one really out of Baltimore's offense that hopefully they can take advantage of, either using him as a primary pass catcher or using him to open things up for the other guys on their offense.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just think this is a huge game for the Ravens in the sense that, you know, they've got these two division games back to back, and they're within 5 days of each other. They've got to get this win today because next game up is the Steelers. But to kind of get to your point about Perryman, I think they're hoping that he's able to command respect of his deep speed. But until he catches some balls, no one's going to respect that.
No, and essentially all Perryman's going to come in and do is replace Torrey Smith. And last year when Torrey Smith went on that string of touchdown runs, I think he had 11 last year, but like through the first 6 weeks he didn't have any. He was only able to do so once he started getting open across the middle of the football field, running the route tree. So it's going to be interesting to see how Perryman adjusts, how Flacco and Perryman adjust, but you're absolutely right about Crockett Gilmore. They got another pretty good young tight end that number two role that's capable of catching balls, and that's Max Williams. I'd like to see the Ravens use a little bit more of these two on the football field together, start to establish, and I hate to use this comparison, but, you know, they've got two young, really good tight ends, and Crockett Gilmore is no fluke. Fourth rounder out of Colorado, he's a pretty good tight end. He's big, he's got the speed, and as you said, he's a space eater. I like Crockett Gilmore, and then, of course, they drafted Max Williams. So the Ravens have an opportunity to kind of use like a poor man's version of what Gronkowski and Hernandez used to be to the New England Patriots. And there's nothing – I'm not saying that Gilmore and Williams are capable of putting up over 2,200 yards, but they're certainly capable of opening everything up for the rest of this offense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I completely agree with that. You're going to have a lot of under-the-middle stuff, and Flacco can take advantage of that to some degree. They've just got to get something going on offense. They've got to get a win here today. But I think they got a chance, but they're going to have to do it against Baltimore. So let's move on. We've broken down that game. Let's go on to our pick six segment here. Every week we pick six games. We try to do the six most intriguing games of the week. Current pick standings, we're being dominated by our guest pickers, Alan, so you got a little bit to live up to there. Our guest pickers are currently 8-4 on the season. Mike is a solid 6-6, and I'm under 500 at 5-7. Okay, so the first game we're going to pick today is I'm going to give you the line from the MGM Mirage, but we're going to pick them straight up, so don't pay any attention to the line. Minus 1.5, Atlanta giving 1.5 points at Dallas. What do you got, Alan?
Well, you know what? The great news in this one today is that Jason Witten is active. And look, Jerry Jones said that Brandon Weeden was the best pure passer he's ever seen in practice, right? So it must be true. look, I know that the Atlanta Falcons are on absolute fire, but this game, there's something to be said for when you lose your leaders out there, Romo, no Dez Bryant. I like the Dallas Cowboys to step up today in this game. I really do. I know Whedon's 5-16 as a starter, but I like that Dallas Cowboys defense. Are they as good as the one that held the Eagles to 7 yards rushing last week? Probably not, but I think the Falcons haven't been a very good road team. Matt Ryan's a different quarterback away from Atlanta. At least he has been in the last 2 years. I like the Cowboys at home today.
All right, Mike, what do you got?
So it's funny how results can drive perception, because last week the Giants beat Atlanta up really well for 52 minutes of a football game.
Yeah.
And then their typical excellent decision-making essentially resulted in a loss. And now you've got the 2-0 Falcons who are killing people out here, and as opposed to the 1-1 Falcons who lost to the Giants last week. So the results are there, and so you've got the 2-0 Falcons, who I think might be a little overblown. I will say Julio Jones is probably the best receiver in the NFL right now. The kid is ridiculous. And Matt Ryan's very nice quarterback as well. They have not faced a defense the likes of Dallas. I talked a lot about this game earlier, so I think you know my pick's going to be at Dallas on the record.
Okay. And, of course, Dallas is my team. All those great things. Here's the thing. To kind of piggyback on your point a little bit, Mike – you know, they got the Giants to give them a game in week two, and they almost coughed up a game to Philadelphia when Philadelphia was really, really bad in week one in the first half and kind of got some things going in the second half. So they almost gave that game away. So you're looking at a team that is 2-0, but potentially could have been 0-2. They've got some real problems on the defensive line, the offensive line. The running game hasn't been great. So here's the thing. They're going against a Dallas defense that has been pretty good against the run in the first 2 weeks of the season. They have not given up 100 yards rushing yet. Not a 100-yard rusher, 100 yards rushing. So the Giants got the 99 yards. The Eagles got the, I don't know, negative 200. It just seemed like they were going backwards all day. Sean Lee is a beast. He's great against the run. He's great against the pass. I think he's going to have a big game. I think Dallas is going to be able to do enough defensively and get their running game going. And I'm telling you, I mean, obviously, Jerry's out there selling oil like he always does with Brandon Weeden. But I think Weeden can do enough to be – as long as he doesn't turn the ball over 2 or 3 times, I think they're going to be in this game, and I think they can win it late because I think they've got the better line play, and I think that's good. Now, if Julio Jones runs wild, all bets are off and Dallas loses. But I'm going to pick Dallas to win this game at home and go to 3-0. Okay, next one, Oakland at Cleveland, two kind of teams that are pretty exciting early on this year. Go ahead, Alan. Who you got?
Well, you know, you got the Raiders coming across the country to play a 1 o'clock game. I can't stand the fact that the NFL does this. Look, they hit the road. The Raiders hit the road for the first time this season. Oakland's won. Oakland has lost. I apologize. 11 straight road games going back to 2013. Derek Carr's 0-8 on the road. A lot of people disagreed this week with the decision to bench Johnny Manziel in favor of Josh McCown. I'm not one of those guys. I think that, look, Johnny Manziel's mechanics are poor. He had a couple of nice touchdown passes last week. I still think this is a kid that needs to watch from the sidelines. I like this Cleveland secondary. I like him today at home against the Oakland Raiders.
Okay, Mike, you're just really quickly, the line on this is Cleveland -3 at home. So they're getting the home cooking -3. Go ahead, Mike.
Man, I've got Oakland circled on my paper, and Alan's got me convinced I'm wrong. But since I've got him circled on my paper, I'm going to go with it. I just think Murray runs wild, and they don't find a way to slow him down. I mean, I think that Cleveland's secondary is good, but I just don't think Derek Carr is going to have to win the game today. I think Latavius Murray has 150 yards, and just they cannot get them off of the field. I don't think Cleveland will be able to get Oakland off of the field. And I think Oakland maybe does a little what we thought they might do, and you know, raises some eyebrows and exceeds expectations. I think Oakland wins.
Okay. And here's the thing. I'm really interested to see Amari Cooper versus Joe Hayden. I think that's going to be a fantastic matchup. I think that Amari Cooper possibly is going to be the most talented player on the field today. I think this is a really intriguing matchup. Again, Oakland is a team that Mike and I were really high on in the preseason. I was not very high on Cleveland. I don't like them. I don't like their quarterback situation with either guy in. So, I mean, either way, it's not that great. And I think running back-wise, Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson, they haven't really gotten a whole lot going there. They have hit a couple long balls with Manziel to Travis Benjamin. But other than that, their offense hasn't been great. I think that the Raiders, and I like the Raiders, Aldon Smith, Khalil Mack, Justin Tuck up front. I think that could be a really great matchup for them against the Cleveland offensive line. Even though the Cleveland offensive line has actually got some talent on there, I am going to pick the Oakland Raiders to break their long-standing road losing streak today. And even longer when you consider road games in the Eastern time zone. I like the Oakland Raiders to win today.
Here's the game that puts the guests even further ahead of us in the pick six
section
of the show.
Exactly. This is how we're behind, Alan. Okay. So next, we're going to have Pittsburgh -1 on the road at St. Louis. St. Louis, who laid an absolute egg in the nation's capital last week. Alan, what do you think?
Well, look, you get Le'Veon Bell back today. And, oh, by the way, he's going to step in and play for the guy that's second in the NFL in rushing with 204 yards. This Pittsburgh Steelers offense, to me, is amazing. Ben Roethlisberger with 4 completions over 40 yards last week. This is a scary situation. I'm a Ravens fan. This is a very scary situation to be watching this Pittsburgh Steelers offense. Antonio Brown, 9 receptions for 195 yards last week against the 49ers. Look, I like what St. Louis did in week 1 against Seattle, but this is no Seattle in terms of offense. I love Pittsburgh's offense. I know Todd Gurley's getting in there today for St. Louis, but I love this Steelers line. It pains me to say that, but I like the Steelers on the road in St. Louis today.
All right, we got like 3 minutes left, so we're going to have to pick up the pace. Mike, just give me who you got, Pittsburgh or Steelers? St. Louis.
I got Pittsburgh. I got Pittsburgh or the Steelers or both of them.
Or both, all three. I got Pittsburgh as well. And again, it has a lot to do with offense, and I just think that they can win in a track meet. They can win in a whatever they want to do. All right, San Francisco at Arizona -6.5. Just give me your pick, Alan.
I'll take the Cardinals.
All right, very good. Mike, what do you got for that game?
I am also on the Cardinals. I think 6.5, but you just can't go that far against Vegas if just making straight picks.
Yeah, I've got Arizona as well, and I think we saw a little bit of what San Francisco actually is last week as opposed to what they did in the first week in their home opener. Kansas City at Green Bay. Green Bay at home, -6.5 against Kansas City. Alan, go ahead.
I'm going to take Green Bay, but I just want to say real quick, guys, it's a joke Kansas City can't find a receiver in the freaking end zone.
I mean, ridiculous. It's the quarterback. Yeah. He can't throw the ball down the field. We've gone over that actually earlier today. He just can't throw the ball down the field. Mike, who you got?
I'm also on Green Bay. I'm not going to pick against Green Bay at home against. I don't think there's any team in the league I would take on a straight pick going into Green Bay to win.
Yeah, it's a tough. It's a tough get. 90 seconds left here. Last game we're going to pick. We can talk about it a little bit, Alan. Cincinnati at Baltimore. Who do you have today?
I can't see the Ravens going 0-3. It's going to be a hard-fought defensive football game. I like the Ravens, maybe even on the last-second Justin Tucker field goal. Give me the Ravens 20-17.
Michael.
I'm going to take Cincinnati. I just think they're a better team. I think they're a better defensive team, even though you might think of Baltimore as the better defensive team. And I think they're a better offensive team with better weapons around the field. I like Cincinnati on both sides of the ball.
All right, so that makes me smarter than you because I agree with Alan. Baltimore in a close one. Again, I think it could be a field goal game. Alan, thanks so much for coming on. Everybody, make sure to follow Alan on Twitter, at Zlot Sports. Also, check him out on the NFL Standard on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, 10 a.m. Eastern Sunday mornings. Also, he does Thursday night college football blitz at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Thanks for coming on with us, Alan. We really appreciate it.
Guys, enjoy week 3. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. All right, Mike, 30 seconds left. I just want to say make sure to follow Mike on Twitter, at Mastrolio123. Follow me, at Duckman for Real. That's the Duckman number 4, Real. And follow the show, at Assignment F-Ball. 10 seconds to go. Mike, have a great week. Say good, give the love to Sue and the kids, okay, man?
I will. You too, man. Enjoy Hawaii, as always.
As always. See you later, folks, and thanks for joining us on Assignment Football.
Thanks, Tom.